Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, Brother John Ramirez, the author of Out of the Devil's Cauldron, A Journey from Darkness to Light. This man has a marvelous testimony. He's going to be sharing it with you on tonight. He's going to go however the Lord leads him to go, and we're really going to be blessed on tonight. Brother Ramirez, you there?
Yes, God bless you. How are you? How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine, brother, doing fine. I'm so happy and overjoyed to have you here with us tonight on the program. I'm going to give you the rest of the program. You can open up with prayer, and then you can go from there.
Amen, amen. I just want to thank you first. Allow me to come on your show. I think it's a blessing, like many other places I've been, and they've been a blessing, like Mega Man Radio. I've been in Richard Keller's show and been a blessing there, and I just want to say we all are part of the body of Christ Jesus, a place that at the foot of the cross where life becomes life and victory becomes victory and salvation and freedom, you know, and to be free. And I believe tonight's a night that those that are in captive, those that are in bondage, those that are in shackles, they can be free tonight because of the God we serve. It has nothing to do with John Ramirez. It has nothing to do with Pastor Montgomery. It has to do with the cross of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because it's the cross of Jesus Christ that sets you free. Amen. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father God, Lord, we are at awe of who you are, my God. You are awesome. You are awesome. You are awesome, 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 Lord. We love you, Father God. We thank you, Father God. We worship you, Father God. We praise you for who you are, Father God, and what you've done in our lives, my God. Lord, what would we be if you didn't show up, my God? We thank you, Father God, because a lot of us was 11:59 in our time then when you showed up, my God. Everything, the atmosphere, everything had to change, my God, and the shackles had to fall to the floor. Lord, you set us free, my God, for a time like this, to bring glory and honor and praise to your name, my God. Lord, we are not here, my God, to stand our own strength. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come tonight through the airways, Father God. You're not limited to time and space, Father God. Lord, you hold the galaxy, the planets, the moon, the stars in place just by your word. Father God, we pray right now, every devil, we put the devil on notice right now in the name of Jesus. We told Satan, listen to me. We put you on notice right now. You got 60 seconds to leave the airways because we're coming right now with the army. That we're coming down with the fire that allows you to come down to burn down every demon, every demonic force, every witchcraft, my God, every witchcraft, any soothsayer, any root worker right now on the sound of my voice. You should be shivering and you should be shaking in your boots because we serve a mighty God. And even the witch doctor will be set free. Even in the book of Acts, in the name of Jesus, Simon the sorcerer, you know, the witch believed when Philip showed up. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come, my God, right now, Lord, we put on the armor, my God, and we call on the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Father God, right now on the radio station, right here, tonight, my God. Lord, be glorified and be praised and be worshipped, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen, my brother. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just blessed to be on your show tonight. I just love how Jesus does things in such a divine appointments. Nothing is a coincidence in the kingdom of Christ. Amen. I mean, in the kingdom of darkness, the devil takes even in the kingdom of darkness, everything is coincidence. The devil try to plan and replan and plan and replan and try to he has plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. But Jesus got plan A, amen? And I thank him for that because, you know, my brother, I'm still today, I've been saved for 10 years. And that's like being a baby Christian, you know, 10 years in the Lord. And I just want to bless the people out there and let them know how powerful, how awesome God is because in 10 years that I've been saved, I would have never, ever imagined in my life that I would have been a Christian. I could imagine anything else. I could imagine anything else I could have been, but not a Christian. Because, you see, my story is very different than a lot of people out there, not undermining anyone, no one's testimony or life or anything like that. I'm just pointing myself and putting myself on stage to give God glory. Amen? Tonight. And for 25 years, I couldn't say the name of Jesus. 25 years of my life, I couldn't say Jesus. I didn't know what that word meant. I didn't know what that word meant. I mean, I didn't know how to pronounce it, say it. I didn't want to say Jesus. I didn't have no interest of being a Christian. I was a third high-ranked devil worshiper in the realms of Santeria, which is bigger than Islam, which is bigger than any situation with Muslim or Buddhism. I mean, a religion that is straight from the pits of hell. That is the religion that I was born into at the age of 10, because at the age of 10 years old, I was initiated to Santeria. I was initiated to spiritualism. I was initiated to Palo Mayombe. At the age of 10 years old, I was already sitting in the tables of the white table, which is demonic church. I was sitting communicating with demons from different ranks and different archies and principalities that were ruling the second and the first heaven. I was sitting and making communication with them and lending out my body so these demons can come into my body, channel into my body, so I can speak to someone. And I became a medium at the age of 10 years old. And at age of 10 years old, I was being trained by witches and warlocks that were in this religion for 40 and 50 years that they had devoted their lives to this religion and devoted their family. This is an occult beyond measure. Right now, in this religion right now, is 60 million people in this religion right now running strong to the point that they even have music. They have everything. Last time I heard that their music is going to be mainstream MTV coming on MTV. That's how powerful this religion is. But the God that I serve, all powerful. Amen?
Yes.
And
amen.
My brother Montgomery, I tell you, it's one thing that I grew up in the streets of the South Bronx. We used to call it the burnout Bronx because every building was burnt down. I seen the first murder I seen in my life. I was 11 years old. I was sent to the store to go get a gallon of milk, and I seen this man got shot so many times that the guy that shot him ran out of bullets right in front of me. I mean, the first murder I saw, the first body I saw hit the ground, bloody, holes in the body, in the face. I was 11 years old. I was exposed to the first murder. So I was exposed to death at 11 years old. From 10 years old that I was sworn into the dark side, that I was sworn into Santeria, spiritualism, and Palo Manume. I mean, I at that age already, matter of fact, even at the age of 9 years old, I remember I was in a schoolyard playing with a friend of mine, and this necklace fell out from the heavens, and I want to educate people tonight because there's a third heaven that Paul visit, which is Christ Jesus, the throne of Christ, heaven, the place that when you pass on and you die and you're a Christian and you live for Christ, that's the place that you live forever. Ever is a place that there's no time, there's no situation of time and space. It's just eternity. That's what they call it in heaven, just to give it a name. And when I remember I was playing in a yard and I heard a voice call my name, and it sounded like my mother calling me, and this necklace fell, this colorful necklace, it was like an Indian necklace, fell right in front of me, and I put it on, and I tucked it into my clothes, and I already knew I was marked. I was marked from the principalities that ran the second and first heaven. They let that necklace go down from the first and second heaven. It was dropped, and I put it on, and I was marked already at the age of 9, at age of 10 years old. My mother was going to with my aunt to read her cards, tarot card reading, and I went with them. My mother took me. I was 10 years old, and she had grabbed me by the hand, and she took me to this place. And this lady was wicked, ugly lady, that she was doing a card reading. This lady was a lesbian. She was into the witchcraft. This lady was very well known, not only in the whole entire Bronx, but beyond the Bronx, the community, the boroughs. She was known among the states. That's how wicked and witch this lady was. And when I went to the house, she kind of, she was magnetized to me, and she was like, "Well, I'm going to read the cards, but the cards are saying here that the demons and the warlock, the demons want this kid to be a warlock, and the demons want this kid because if you don't give this kid up and you don't offer him to the demons and to Chango, Jemaya, or Chung, or Batala, and Jemaya, if you don't offer him to them as they guarding his guardian angels, that young man, he's going to lose his eyesight, and if he and then my mother, being a good mother." My mother worried, and she turned around, and she saw her furniture for $250 because the first initiation that was put on my body cost her $250 that she had to sleep on the floor because she had to pay $250. She didn't have any money because my father was too busy out in the world doing his thing and being absent from the home. And even when my father was home, he was an absent person from the house, even living in the same roof, same place, walking the same hallway, walking into the same room. My father was still absent from my home because my father, all he loved was, my father was a warlock. My father used to worship Lazarus, and what they call it in Spanish, San Lázaro, he would worship. And I remember when I was a young boy, he would send me to the Botanicas, which is a place that the Botanicas is a market. It's a place that they sell all kind of herbs and candles and flowers and portions and liquids and spells that you can do witchcraft. You can buy good stuff for witchcraft, bad stuff for witchcraft. And I explain that later because everything is witchcraft. There's nothing good in witchcraft. But I my father would give me $10 and say, "You better go to the place and buy me this and buy me this, these flowers and buy these candles and buy these herbs because I'm going to do a bath and I'm going to do a spiritual bath and all this stuff." And I remember when I used to run to the store, my heart beating through the cars, running the avenue to the street to get to the Botanica because my father wanted this stuff and I wanted to impress my dad. Because I wanted his love and his affection. I wanted to impress my dad because I wanted to show my dad that I can do this for him. because I was the oldest. I have three brothers, and I wanted to do this to my dad. I told my dad, oh, yeah, I'm going to run. I'm going to do this for you. And I used to run to the Botanica, and I remember when I used to come back, sometimes the Botanica would run out of some ingredients and stuff like that. And I would come back, and my father said, oh, you stupid. You messed up with the stuff. You didn't know what you buy. You idiot. You didn't know what you buy. You're so stupid. I can't believe I sent you. And I would get all these degrading verbal abuse from my dad because the man in the Botanica didn't have some of the ingredients or maybe some of the flowers or he didn't have the right color candle. And I would come home and be shameful because I didn't complete the task of what my father wanted me to accomplish because him being a warlock and presenting these things to his demons was more important than the family. And I remember I was standing in the hall and I would look through the little crack of the door as my father would chant and worship Lazarus and his demons. He would worship them and praise them and he would light candles and ask him for stuff. And I was from the hallway, I would see the candle flicker. And I would look into the hallway and watch him perform his spiritual duties and his spiritual rituals. And I would captivate that and I would see what was going on. And one day I remember that my mom sent me to my aunt's house and my aunt told me, why don't you go and buy some milk for the morning so you can have some cereal. And I ran out to the avenue. It was a big avenue. I ran out to the avenue. It was about 11:00, 11:30 at night. And I ran out to the avenue. As I ran out to the avenue, I was coming back and I saw this car from a distance under a cold winter night under a light pole under a street light. And I said, well, that looks like my dad's car. And I ran over there taking a chance that if it wasn't my dad, I could have been in a lot of trouble. And I ran there, and I knocked on the window, and my dad was drunk in the car, sleeping in the car. Mm. And I knocked on the window and said, Dad, you okay? You okay? You need my help? He said, oh, stupid, what are you doing out here? Wait till I get you when you get home. And that demolished me. I mean, it broke my spirit, broke who, even the part that I had left to hope that I could be because I was his oldest son. Maybe I can impress my dad and he'll love me and he would have embraced me and show me and maybe put his hands around me and tell me that he loves me or maybe he'll take a time out and get a glove and throw a ball around with me. Maybe he'll walk into school one day. And I grew up, I remember growing up in the South Bronx, in the cold streets of the South Bronx, that my neighbor was controlled by a gang. And the gang would tell us what time we had to go upstairs because there would be rumbles in the streets, fights in the street all night, throwing bricks out the roofs. And I remember that my mom would try to save her money because of the building that we lived in. We lived all up in the fifth floor. There was no elevator situation. We had to walk up five stories, walk down five stories, walk up five stories. And it was winter time. I mean, winter with blizzards coming down. And then the building was supposed to have 30 families in this building. And there was only three families left in the building because the rest of the remaining families in that building, they were smart enough to move out and get the kids out of the neighborhood so the kids won't get into drugs or get shot or get killed, either in the streets or in the schools. As I was growing up, I was getting this resentment and bitterness in my heart, and I was getting this anger, and why do I have to live here? Why me and my brother have to run down to the pump and fill up the bucket and bring it back upstairs? Where my dad is at? Where is he that he can provide for my family? And I remember there was winter times that we had to wear our coats and our gloves and our hats to fall asleep. And I remember that I would stand by the window. At the age of 12 years old, I would stand by the window and watch the clock, 1 in the morning and 2 in the morning, because I was so afraid that me and my little brothers and my mother would get burned in the building, in the apartment, because there were only three families left. So the hoodlums and the thugs in the neighborhood would think that the building was abandoned. So if they were, like, drinking, they would say, well, let's turn this building on fire, because it was called the Burned Out Bronx. So I would stand by the window as a little boy, look out the window, and all I saw was the cold of the window at night. And all I saw was the cold of winter night and the street lamp shining into the apartment that we lived in. And I would look and I see my little brothers all huddled up together, try to stay warm throughout the night so we can get up in the morning and go to school. And we would wear each other's clothes. And there was Christmases that my mother would put up a broken down tree and there was no gifts under the tree. Because my father didn't provide, and but he had money for candles, he had money for witchcraft, he had money to buy spells, and he had money to buy herbs, and he had money to take women out, and we were lying to the folks in the neighborhood. Say, yeah, we got this gift and we got that gift and we got the latest gift at home. We had nothing at home, but we had to say that because the shame and the dignity was so shattered that you couldn't even put it together. So I started to pray, and I started to pray, and the devil showed up, and the devil showed up, and he said, "I'll be your dad. I'll be your dad." Already at 12 years old, the devil showed up, and he said, "I'll be your dad." And even though I was initiated at the age of 9 by the necklace that fell from the sky, from the second heaven that the demons gave me, and then at the age of 10, I was sworn to the dark side already, and at the age of 12, the devil showed up at my house, and he said, "I'll be your dad. I give you everything you want. I take care of you. I love you. I show you how to grow up. I show you how to be a man. I show you how to get things. I give you power. I give you women at a certain age. I give you cars. I give you this." And I told the devil, "Okay, I take the contract." And I took the contract from the devil. As I took the contract from the devil in Santeria and in spiritualism, I told him one thing. I asked for the devil. I said, "If my father," I said, "in life, the new replaces the old." So I started to pray. And I started to pray, and I said, "Devil, kill my dad. Kill my dad. Kill my dad. Kill him. Kill him." At the age of 33, my father was gunned down at a social club for a woman that wasn't even his. He was gunned down at a social club for a woman that wasn't his. So the old disappeared, and the new came to life. Was me. I became the warlock. I became the demon worshiper. I became the head of my home at the age of 13 years old. I was the man of the house. I was the man of the house, and the devil was giving me things that I wanted, and I would give it to my brothers, and I would give it to my mother. I was the one I was looked up to. At 14 years old, I was already coming home at 5 in the morning because I was sitting. I was going out to different clubs at the age of 14 years old, recruiting people to the dark side, telling them about the fortune telling, telling them about the power of demonic forces, of putting spirits on them, putting demonic spells on them, for them not even realizing that I was speaking death into their lives so they can die at a young age. They can die without reaching the cross of Jesus Christ because the devil signed me to be an evangelist to the dark side, and I became an evangelist to the dark side. So powerful, moving up the ranks of Santeria, of Palo Mayumbe, and moving up the ranks of spiritualism, that even the people in the occult that was running from Miami to Cuba, from Cuba to Haiti, from Haiti back to New York, they were becoming jealous of who I was because the devil was favoring me over them. And they cannot believe that. Why this young man, how much power he has. I would turn around and I remember at the age of 18, 19 years old, I was ready leaving my body home and transporting myself into neighborhoods. I was actually projecting myself into neighborhoods because I knew that in the spirit realm, if I can curse the neighborhood, I can break the neighborhood before I got into the neighborhood in the natural, I will take roosters and kill them and drink the blood. When I had money to drink to buy roosters and kill them and drink the blood, I would cut myself and drink my own blood. I remember at the age of 20, I met a girl. I brought her into the dark side, and I got married with her on Halloween. I had a demonic wedding on Halloween. Demons and warlocks and witches showed up at my wedding. Demons showed up at my wedding to baptize my wedding. No human being came because they were scared to come. I sent an invitation, but no one showed up. And Halloween is the devil's holiday. So I had my wedding in the devil's holiday, and then my daughter was born a couple of years later. And I said, well, now that my daughter was born, I said, I would teach my daughter all the tricks of the trades of witchcraft so she can destroy anyone that come against her. She can destroy. And when I don't start, when I don't finish, she'll finish because I passed the baton to her. And as I went to the clubs, then I started to get an itch and an itch for Christians. Because I knew the Christians, I hated Christians. I hated the cross. Because what would Jesus, when my mother was getting beat up in the room by my dad, what would Jesus, when me and my brother were starved, what would Jesus, when me and my brothers would have to wear the same clothes and get mocked in school and get laughed at? And what would Jesus, when my father died, that he was in his casket, his corpse was in the casket? And what was Jesus when 30-something women showed up at the funeral claiming my dad when my mother was sitting there embarrassed and ashamed?
Jesus.
Even in his death, he shamed the family. I said, what would Jesus at? So I said, you know, the devil said, you have to go after Christians. You have to destroy the faith. You have to destroy Christians. And the devil was training me how to destroy Christians. So what I would do is I would go to places and look for Christians in clubs. and in bars because they were Christian that were being phony, two-faced. They were pretending one on Sunday that they were lifting up holy hands, and on Saturday they were coming out the club, going home, and changed into their church clothes. And I was the one that was waiting for them at the clubs because I knew that the devil would point them out. So when the devil would point them out, I knew that the Christian that was coming to the clubs and was coming to this place, you would come into the devil's playground. A lot of Christians today, they say, well, I go to clubs, but I don't drink. I go for the music. Yeah, but you don't understand that because the Bible said the ear gate, the eye gate, the mouth gate is what you put into your spirit man. Because when your spirit man is weak, you become anemic, and the devil will have a field day with you.
All right. You preaching, brother.
You know, so I knew that when I came up to a Christian and he would bring up the Bible to me, he would bring up the Word of God to me, I knew how to crush the Word of God and crush his spirit because I used to tell him things. I would tell him, could I tell you some things? And he would give me permission to enter to his spirit realm and contaminate his spirit. Because if I can contaminate his spirit, I can crush his walk with Christ. I can crush his growth with Christ. I can put a stain on his spirit. And like it's like in the book of in the Bible that when it speaks about the man that his robe was stained, his robe was dirty.
Yeah.
He came into the banquet, and Jesus said, "You came without a robe." And he was cast out. What I mean to say by that is when Christians walk without the rope of righteousness or the rope of holiness, the rope that God has given us, and Joseph was given a coat of many colors. And when you walk without that protection, that anointing, you walk without that because you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. You met me at the club. You met me at the house party. You met me at a places that you were not supposed to be in, not because your God wasn't all-powerful. Your God was all-powerful. It's because you was out of timing and you was out of place. And when you're out of place as a Christian, I can step into the spirit realm and destroy you and destroy your spirit, man, because I knew you had no prayer life.
Jesus. Amen.
So I knew, and I would give them my number, and I said, here, I recruited Christians to the dark side by reading their cards. And once I had read their cards, one time I walked into a bar, and there was a group of people in the bar, and there was a guy reading cover cards at the bar. He had everybody going, and he had this whole entire... He had almost the whole bar surrounding him, reading the cards and tower cards, and he was reading the cards. And I walked in, and the devil said, I want you to show these people who you are, and I want you to show these people that you got the power. So I went to the bar and I told the guy, listen, let me ask you a question. Won't you read my cards? So he started reading my cards. He said this and this and that. He starts to read my cards, and I'm like, let me do it for you, I told him. I put the cards backward to the black side. That's what the devil told me to do. He said, oh, you're putting them the wrong way. That's not the way you put the cards and stuff like that. I said, no, let me show you something. I said, your mother's a prostitute. Your mother had an abortion. Your father did this. Your wife is sleeping with the guy upstairs. He was tearing, crying, weeping. He couldn't understand. I destroyed him in the spirit realm. I ate him up in the spirit realm because I know what I could kill in the spirit realm. I kill in the natural. The man was empty. The man was hollow. The man was in need of a spiritual revival in his spirit because I had stepped into a place with him that I know that I had him. Mm-hmm. And those people at the bar, they all came one by one, and all I did was contaminate their spirit because I know if I can contaminate their spirit, I know there was no way you could get to the cross of Jesus Christ.
Jesus, Lord.
Because I can slow up the plan of God in your life. So when I walk into churches, I would sit in churches. I would pray over the Catholic Church. I remember I would stand in front of the Catholic Church and pray. And weeks later, months later, that church was closed down. I would stand in Christian churches and pray and ask the devil to close these churches down. And they would just close down because they would lose the people. They would lose things because it wasn't because Jesus was powerful. It's just because the church wasn't walking right.
Okay. I hear you. Uh-huh.
The church wasn't walking right. So I had the authority to go and stand in front of these churches with the power of the enemy and bring them down to a place to nothing. I would do that to Christian. I remember one time we recruited this Christian lady into the dark side. We swore into the dark side. We were doing a ceremony for her, a Santeria. She was doing a Jemaya in Santeria. And her parents were Christians, devoted Christians, and they came into the place. As they came into the place, I remember I got there late because I was taking care of other business. When I got there late, I was told the story that these Christians had come in and started reading the Bible, and they started to read the Bible, and they were escorted out of the place that we're getting the ceremony done, that the devil was supposed to show up at the place to receive the ceremony from the lady that was getting baptized because we were selling her soul to the devil that day. And I walked in, and I was furious, and I was angry with myself that I got there 10 minutes late because I wanted to take these Christians and smack them in the face and take the Bible and rip it into pieces and throw them in the streets like they were dogs. And I said,
Jesus.
Man, and I was so furious. I said, you know what? Now I'm going to gear up more to go after Christians just because of this. I'm going to gear up more. I would walk into, I used to use and change death from one room to another, Pastor. I knew how to take death. I remember I went to ICU because I had a friend of mine. He was in a motorcycle accident. I took the death out of his room and put it in another room, and I went back the next day and took it out of that room and put it in another room because I knew how to play with death and moving from one place to another, and people would die. I would go to funerals and act like I knew the corpse in the body, and like I knew the corpse in the coffin, and pretend like I knew him because I would stand at a certain place. I don't have to give the details to this because it doesn't glorify God. I would stand in a place in the funeral and buy that soul and bring it into my house and dedicate that soul into my pot. I had a cardone, a pot with the demons. I used to meet the demons at night and sit there and get all my recipes and get all my assignments from the devil. I would turn my living room on fire. I would put pentagrams in the living room, and I would turn it on fire and dance over the fire naked to purify myself so I can go out at night. Because there was something about the darkness that it had the power. But the devil told me before the sun come out, you have to get home because the light was more powerful than the darkness.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
So the devil told me you have to get home at a certain time before the sun come out, before daybreak. I would go to 4 or 5 clubs hunting down Christians.
You'd find Christians in the clubs.
Yes, I would find Christians at a club. And then on Sunday, they were up and they were in church singing the songs, raising up holding hands. See, your life has to be consecrated to the Lord of Jesus Christ. You have to live a life consecrated to Christ because they're poor. I know Jesus. I know. Who are you? So when I would go to clubs and look for Christians, I would find them at places that the devil would tell me. They're here. I remember one time that I was out in the avenue and there was a Muslim brother that came up to me and told me, oh, your religion don't have no power. And I said, one day we're going to test it. And I said, one day we're going to test mine. We're going to test my devil against your devil from Islam. And he said, okay, one day we're going to test it. That day came, Pastor. I met him at a diner. I said, we're going to meet at a diner. I said, we met him at a diner. I said, let me show me your power. Show me Islam. Show me your power from Allah. Show me. I told him, show me. I want to see. Show me what kind of power is your religion, Islam, God. So he looked at a girl, and there was 2 girls sitting having a meal. And he said, I think your boyfriend left you. And he would try to fortune tell these girls things and stuff like that. And the girls started mocking and laughing and ridiculing him. And I turned around. I was half demon-possessed at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I was half demon-possessed already. And I turned around and I said to the girls, let me tell you something. And this is how the devil that I serve. Here's my daddy. Let me bring my daddy to you. I told the girls, this happened in your life, that happened in your life, this happened in your life, you had this happen in your life, that happened. The girls were weeping and wailing over their food. They couldn't believe it. So how you know these things? No one ever knew these things about me. And the guy in front of me, the Muslim brother in front of me, he was at all in shock. That day he had to bow down to the devil because he knew that the devil I served was bigger than the devil he served.
Wow.
So what I would do in Santeria, I would recruit people. I recruited so many people into the dark side. I did so much witchcraft. When I heard there was gunshots in the streets, and I heard in the streets, and I heard people got killed in the street, I would run to the street real quick. I would run and I would bring a jar, and I would bring a knife, and I would scoop up the blood, the human blood, and put it in the jar because I can use that human blood for witchcraft, to put it on the people. Because the same way that person died in the streets, I knew that if I take that same blood that person shed on the street, I knew that if someone paid me the right money, I knew how to put witchcraft on people and kill them the same way. And miscarriages. I went through the situation of giving people miscarriages, abortions, or witchcraft. I would send the devil to people's house. And when people, I remember I was at a bar, Pastor, and I came with this girl. Actually, this girl met me at a bar, and I was sitting at the bar, and I was drinking with a friend of mine. He was another witch doctor. He was an undercover police officer for the New York City Department. And he was a devil worshiper as well. And he was a low-ranked devil worshiper. And then we sat at the bar and we drank. And a girl showed up at the bar. I was waiting for her. She told me she was going to meet me at the bar, and she was a stripper, and a beautiful, beautiful girl. And she showed up at the bar, and there was two guys at the bar that were trying to pick her up as I was drinking with my buddy. And the devil told me, you show these guys a lesson. So when I went up to the guy, I said, let me say something to you. You're both a detective. How you know that? I said, I know that because my daddy told me. But I'm going to send my daddy to your house today, tonight, and you're going to regret the day you did this. Not because of her, because she's not but a piece of furniture to me. But you're going to understand who I am. They were tormented. They said that all they heard in their apartment was screams and chains rolling against the floor, dragging on the floor. They heard screams and chains dragging on the floor. And they could not believe the fact that they heard these screams and this laughter in the apartment. And they would pull out their guns and look all over the apartment, and they were tormented for 2 weeks. They sat on the bar waiting for me for 2 weeks to apologize so I can take the devil out of the house.
Lord Jesus.
And when I came up Christians, and they would come up to me, I knew how to put seducing spirit on people. I knew how to put demon spirits on people. I knew how to put spirit that would entrapment, so they would entrap you, and then you would come back to me because you needed me. I would give you my number. I said, hey, you're going to need me later. You're going to call me. So I would charge you $5,000, $7,000, $8,000 so I can take that devil right back off you. I would walk the streets of New York. I would walk the streets of New York. People in my neighborhood, in the community. I lived in a community that was 179 buildings, and the security in that building, in that neighborhood, was afraid. They said, this is the devil's son. We don't mess with him. We don't play with him. One day they had a new recruiter. He came up and he thought he was a very hot shot guy. He came up to my apartment and knocked with the three other security guys, and he said, I heard you have a dog here. And the policy in that whole facility was that you couldn't have a dog because it was a fine of $250 a day. So the dog was small. The dog was my daughter's dog. I was babysitting the dog because my daughter, her mother decided to go on a cruise. And they decided to go on a cruise to let me babysit the dog. And he wanted to give me a ticket. He said, I heard you're a devil worshipper. He said, my uncle is a devil worshipper, and my uncle owns a botanica. And if you mess with me, you're going to mess with my uncle. I said, really? I said, I tell you what. And the guys in the back, and the three other guys that came with him, they were shivering. They were scared. You could see the fear in their faces. And I was standing there in front of this guy in my door, and I felt the devil, like, drape me like a suit, like a fitted suit. And I said to him, let me say something to you. I told him, what's today? He said, today's Monday. I said, by Friday, I have your job and I have your life. On Thursday, he was that same week. That Thursday, he was accused of statutory rape, and he was lost. And he was lost and put charges against him. Well, the last time I saw this guy, he looked like a 75-year-old man on a talking booth, all alone.
Wow.
Because the witchcraft that I put on this person destroyed his life.
Wow.
His life didn't mean nothing. Even the neighborhood heard about it, and fear gripped the neighborhood. And even I had blood on my door. The door that I live in, I would kill the rooster and smash it against the door and kill him, and the blood would drip all over my door. I had demonic signs all over my closet in my apartment. I would sit with the devil all night long. You know, the thing is that I love my Christian brothers and sisters, and I want to educate them. I want to show them that you know what? We are victorious in Christ Jesus, and I don't want to get out of my testimony to say that, but you have to know that the devil is real.
Yeah, he's real.
And the devil is real. And the devil the devil is waiting for every chance. Even when the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness, that he couldn't defeat Jesus in the wilderness, he said, I'll be back another time.
Yeah.
So the devil is not bound by time. The devil is not bound by time. The devil got all the time in the world to wait for you and stalk you and wait for you for the right time to attack you and to bring you down. And great is he that lives in us. Yes, I know the scriptures, believe me. I mean, you're talking to an ex-devil worshipper. An ex-devil worshipper that know the Bible very well and know the word of God very well. I lived with the devil for 25 years. So 25 years I sat with the devil in my apartment and talked to him like I'm talking to you tonight.
Yeah.
When people will mess with me and I would do witchcraft to people, I can transport myself to your house like a wolf. I know how to transform myself as a human being to a wolf, end up in your house.
Wow.
I know how to transform myself as the snake that crawled in the Garden of Eden. I know how to transform myself into that snake, which in African language is called Timbala. I would transform myself and show up in your apartment that way. I will leave my body home on my bed. And I will actually project through neighborhoods and cities to curse them. I will put a spirit of prostitution. I will put a spirit of drugs. I will put a spirit of witchcraft. I will put a spirit of poverty, seducing spirits in the neighborhood because I can weaken the neighborhood and can control the neighborhood. When I moved into a neighborhood, I would take a rooster at 12 o'clock at night and snap his head off. And I would snap the head of the rooster off right in the corner of the neighborhood because of the crossroads of the four corners of that neighborhood I will control, the north, the east, the south, and the west. And if I can control those four corners, I can control the four corners of the world. To which
all right. Mm-hmm.
So I know that Ms. Cleo, at one time, Ms. Cleo on TV, this 1410 lady, Jamaican lady,
yeah.
had nothing on
yeah.
me. She had nothing. I could have took her to school.
Oh,
I could have took her
right.
to school. I could have had my own talk
yeah.
show, witchcraft. This whole talk show is on TV with
yeah.
you want to make right with your family and you want to talk to your family on the other side. I would have had my own show. I would have had better ratings than Oprah.
All right.
That's the kind of, this
mm-hmm.
is the witchcraft that I knew. I knew witchcraft
yeah.
that if I would tell you I'll kill you in 30 days, you better pack up and buy your coffin because in 30 days you were going to die.
Wow.
Okay, even when I got married on Halloween, I had such a demonic wedding. The demons from all kind of different principalities and demons from everywhere came and showed up at my wedding to baptize my wedding. That's the kind of connection. The night that I sold my soul to the devil, 17 people sold their soul to the devil that night. There was New York City police officers. There were doctors. New York City doctors came to sell their souls to the devil that night. And out of 17 people, the devil showed up and he said, out of 17 people, I was given the mark. I was given the pentagram on my right. I was carved into my flesh. The pentagram of the devil was carved into my flesh. And the devil said, you are the high rank one from all these 17 people. All these people are pawns. I'm going to make you, and Palo Manume, Tata. Tata means high priest.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
out of the 17 people, at that night, they swore themselves to the devil. That night was not but wailing. That night was, all you heard was weeping and wailing that night because when the devil showed up that night, there was something of 30-something animals slaughtered and killed for the blood. There was a bloodbath, and you could feel the
Jeez.
Presence of the devil at 12 o'clock when he showed up, when you went to sign the contract with the devil himself. He showed up at 12 o'clock. There was an aura in that room that was so heavy you can touch it. There was a fear in that room that you can touch. That showed up.
Wow.
He came for the blood. He came to sign the contract for the souls that were there, those 17 souls that had sold. That
uh-huh.
was the first time ever in my entire life that in witchcraft you had to fast. Because you have to empty yourself in order to be filled with something.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I understand scriptures today. When the Bible says that, when the Bible speaks about, when the Bible speaks about that, when God casts out a devil from you, that if you don't fill it with something with the Holy Ghost, that same devil comes back to the same house with seven others. So I understood the scriptures
wow.
when it says that. I understood
mm-hmm.
because I sat with the devil. And the devil, his tricks and his traits and his copycats, his bootleg, and his things that he tried to copy from the kingdom of heaven. So I understand the language. Even when I was demon-possessed, we spoke in tongues, demonic tongues, when we were demon-possessed.
Demon
so nothing
tongue,
is original
huh?
the devil has. Is everything
uh-huh.
is copied from the kingdom of light, but because people don't know the Bible, they think it's real, it's original. So those
wow.
that are in witchcraft today, those that are practicing New Age, those that are practicing white magic, and those that are practicing Wicca, the devil's setting you up. Because the Bible says the devil can never love you because you made an image of God. Why would God save an ex-devil worshiper like me that wanted nothing to do with the cross of Jesus Christ? Wanted nothing. I was ridiculed the cross of Jesus Christ. And one time I remember I came down from my building. I remember this.
Yeah.
I came down from my building, and I came down from the building, and I heard this music, and I heard this noise, and I heard this garbage it was playing. It was worship, and I heard this group in the corner playing this thing and singing, and I went to the corner. I was half demon possessed. I went to the corner to break
yeah.
the unity of the spirit, because if I know if I can break the unity of the spirit, they can communicate with each other. As I went
all
to
right.
the corner to
all
break
right.
that, it was a group of Nikki Cruz troops was in the corner. And
yeah.
as I went there, I felt the Holy Spirit, a fire, a ring of fire around these young men, these young kids. And the Spirit hit me so hard that pushed me back. And for the first time, I felt the love of Jesus Christ grip my heart, such a grip in my heart that my eyes wanted to tear and weep because I couldn't understand the love that I was missing from the age of 9 years old.
Yes, Lord.
And the ironic thing about the whole thing, that the 8 or 9 years old, I was in a schoolyard. At the 8 or 9 years old, I was in a schoolyard, and there was this pastor preaching, and the music, and the beautiful music that was playing. At 9 years old, my ears couldn't handle it because it was so beautiful, the music that was playing. At 9 years old, when I came into my ninth year on earth, there was music playing. I was in the school. I was excited. There was this drone running to my body, and the pastor was preaching. He was coming down from the pulpit, and he was touching people, and people were falling. And I was wondering why people were falling into the spirit. And I didn't understand because I was a young boy. But I knew I wanted that. I wanted it, and I wanted him to touch me. And as he was touching the people, he was getting close. He was getting close to me, and I was like, "Oh wow, my turn is next. I'm next. I'm next. He's gonna touch me next. He's gonna touch me next. I want him to touch me. I want to feel what these people feel. I feel the love in the schoolyard." And he passed me by. He passed me by. My heart was broken. My heart was shattered. I felt filthy. I felt dirty. Jesus don't love me. He passed me by. And and that year, that was in the spring that happened. In the fall, the necklace fell from the sky, and I was thrown into the dark side. And I walked a journey of witchcraft with witches and warlocks and spiritualism and witchcraft. And I remember one day I came from a club, pastor, and the devil said, "How much you love me?" I was 4:30 in the morning. I was going to enter my building. The devil said, "How much you love me?" I said, "I love you all my heart," I told the devil. He said, "There's a human being on the 12th floor. He's behind the door. He's there to mug you. I want you to kill him and sacrifice him for me."
Ooh.
And I said, "Sure, I'll do that for you, devil." I said, "I'll kill him and I'll sacrifice him." He said, "All I want you to do is cut him in pieces. Cut his two legs off, cut his two arms and his head. That's all I want. The torso you throw away." I said, "Sure enough," because I already had a plan. As I was coming up the elevator, I knew that my cardon, my witch pot was next to my door, which is next to the closet, next to the door, the entrance. So I was going to grab the guy and drag him and stab him in the neck. And as I stabbed him in his jugular vein, I was going to drag him into my apartment and empty out all the blood that he had in his body into my pot. And I went behind the door. I went to grab him. When I went behind the door, he saw I was demon possessed. I never seen someone disappear out of thin air from the 12th floor into the first floor. This guy, I think all he left was his socks. He flew. All he left was his socks, and he flew. And I couldn't sacrifice him for the devil that night.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus had a plan for me. Jesus didn't want me to commit murder because the devil wanted me to take his joints and put it onto Sarabanda. Sarabanda is a demonic spirit. Sarabanda said that are two demonic spirits that walk together, two principalities that walk together. They wanted the joints because they figured if I put the joints, if I cut his head off and I cut his arms and his legs and put it into a pot, into the pot with the witchcraft pot, these demons, these two demons, they can take those joints and walk the earth like a human being.
Jesus.
So that was the preparation of killing this, of sacrificing a human being. Not only for the blood, not the organs that I wanted. It was the joints that I wanted so I can bring a demonic spirit to life.
Jesus.
And I missed that one human being. I was depressed. I was upset that I can't kill this guy because he escaped through my hands.
Wow.
So I went to my apartment. I went to sleep that night. And the other night, that morning, I woke up and killed three roosters on behalf of this man that he slipped through my hands. And
right.
I met a girl. She was dressed all in black, so I thought she was a witch like me. And I met on the train, and we became friends, and we kind of liked each other. And we started college, and we started to go on dates. But she was a backslider. She was a backslider.
Uh-huh.
And she was a backslider. And I didn't know that she was a backslider. So I went with her to places and all that stuff, and then she revealed to me that her parents were Christians for 27 years. I sat in the house and ate and drank with them, went to places with them, and they never knew I was a devil worshiper. They never knew. 27 years Christians, they didn't even know I was a devil worshiper.
Wow.
I remember one time a lady came up to me. I wrote this in my book, and out of the devil's cauldron. That's the name of the book. And I wrote this thing. This lady came up to my door and she knocked. She said, "Hey, John, I need a favor from you. I pay you." And I said, yes. I said, what do you need? Because she was a real close friend of the family. She said, my husband has a girlfriend at the work. How much would you charge me to kill him with witchcraft? Because she knew I killed people before with witchcraft. She knew I gave people abortions with witchcraft. She knew I gave people miscarriages with witchcraft. She knew that I was deadly. I was something to be reckoned with.
Yes.
And I told her, well, I'm going to talk to the devil tonight. Come back in 3 days. I sat there day after night to talk to the devil to get a recipe from hell to kill this lady. So the lady came back the third day, and she told me, she said, how much are you going to charge me to kill this lady? Because I don't want her to have my husband. If I can't have him, she can't have him. I said, I charge you $10,000 to kill her. And she said, sure enough, I'll give you $5,000. After she's dead, I'll give you the other $5,000. I said, yes. I said, she was walking out the door. She said, I'll pay you tomorrow. As she was walking out the door, she said, by the way, she's a Christian. I said, come back here. What'd you say? She said, she's a Christian. I said, I'll kill her for free. I'll kill her for free. I'm going to show these Christians how to respect people's stuff. I'll kill her for free. I took the ingredients that the devil had given me. I'm not even going to mention the stuff because it doesn't glorify the Lord. It doesn't edify the body of Christ. I took the stuff and I put it together. I watched her for 21 days. I took the stuff and watched his body for 21 days to try to kill her. 21 days went by. A month went by. 40 days went by. The lady didn't die. Not die. And I couldn't believe it because my reputation was on the line.
Uh-huh.
And the lady came back. She said, she's not dead yet. She's not dead yet. I said, oh, she will be. Give it time. And I kept increasing the pressure on the witchcraft so I can kill this lady. One day I was sitting in my house. One evening I was sitting in my house getting ready to go out that night. And the devil shows up and he told me, we have to abort the plan. I said, what do you mean abort the plan? My reputation and my powers are on the line. She said, you don't understand. The devil said, the God that she served said, leave her alone. Amazing grace.
The God told her, leave her alone.
Leave her alone.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing grace.
Amen.
Showed up a person that was living in ignorance. The Lord Jesus Christ still covered her because the witchcraft that I did, she should have been dead in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Cover her, the witchcraft that I did to her. Cover her.
Mm.
The mighty right hand of God, cover her from the witchcraft, because the witchcraft, I would have done that to anyone else, they would have been dead. Absolutely dead. And the God covered her. I wrote that in the book. I was at awe. I was at awe to say this is the best witchcraft I ever done. And it was aborted for a person. I didn't understand. I remember pastor, and I shared another 10, 15 minutes with you. I remember. Because I would like people to call, and I would like to pray for people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I feel in my heart that people need breakthrough. I feel in my heart that people need to know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and Redeemer. He is Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. My people, I was an ex-devil worshiper for 25 years. Why would I give up women, money, power to follow the cross?
That's right.
There's something about the cross of Jesus Christ that nothing in this planet, in this world, can replace it.
Amen. You're right.
Pastor, I sat in his people's house. I didn't lose my train of thought, believe me. The Holy Ghost is here. I sat in his people's house. I ate with them, drank with them. They invited me to a banquet, a church banquet. So I said, I went home and I talked to the devil. I told the devil, they invited me to a church banquet. What should I do? The devil said, go. Have fun. These people are losers. They're the worst. They put witchcraft on them. Go dress all in black. And release seducing spirits in the banquet. There were 500 people in the banquet when I walked in. And there was a judge from the Supreme Court here in New York City at the banquet. She was an ex-devil worshiper. I got on the line. Out of 250 people that were on the line to eat, she was right in front of me. She said, John, how you doing? I said, I'm fine. I said, my cup is blown. I said, because the lady knows that she was part of my clan. She was part of my cult. And she was set free 5 years before I haven't even seen her in 5 years, and she was set free. So she ran to the bathroom and grabbed the ladies. She ran to the bathroom and grabbed the girl's mother and said, you know who your daughter's with? She said, oh, he's a nice guy. He's lovely. He does favors for us. We love him. She said, no, that's the devil's son. And then the other guy that was there, he's an attorney. He's an attorney. He was in witchcraft, and he got set free like 7 years before she did. And he grabbed the father and ran into the bathroom. The fear gripped him. He said, oh, my God, the witchcraft people in the party. He said the witchcraft people are going to take over the party. He took the father and said, you know who your daughter dating? Lucifer.
Ooh.
That's Lucifer that sat on your table. And the father said, no, he's a good guy. He loves my daughter, and we love him. Because I knew how to masquerade myself as an angel of light when I came again among Christians.
Oh. Uh-huh.
I knew how to masquerade myself as an angel of light. And if you didn't have a spirit discernment, you didn't know who I was.
Uh-huh.
So they invited me to church. So I asked the devil, could I go to church? The devil said, yeah, go. You got you throw her right. You got powers. Go to church. Don't worry about it. Put spells and break the unity of the church. That day I got demon possessed in the church and I grabbed the pastor by the throat and I picked him up 3 foot of air. I said, I came for you. Today you die. I came for you. Threw it off, pastor. I went back the second week and grabbed his brother by the throat and picked him off the ground. Threw it all. I had to go to this meeting. Threw it all. They knew I was devil worshiper. They didn't want the girl to be with me anymore. Everything was exposed. I sat in my living room a week later after the 2 weeks of being demon-possessed in the church and grabbing both pastors by the throat to try to kill them. People were coming off their seats and grabbing me. They were flying like ragdolls because the power and the strength that I had as demon-possessed, they couldn't hold me down.
Wow.
They couldn't hold me down at the altar. At the altar. I was there at the altar grabbing people and throwing people 3 seats back from where I was standing because the power was so great. And the power of the Holy Spirit showed up at the church. There was the Holy Spirit fighting against the devil at the church, and people, 200 people raised up holy hands and they started to go into spiritual warfare for a person that wasn't even worth it. For a person that wasn't even worth it. For a person that if I had a chance to kill them all, I would have killed them all. And they went to spiritual warfare and the devil disappeared. The devil disappeared and the devil let me loose. And I went back and sat on my seat. They could not believe it. And 2 weeks later, there was a man named Tony. He went home to be with the Lord. He came, he gave me a shirt from the church. He gave me a sweatshirt from the church. And he said, here.
Yeah.
And the church said, you're a mighty warrior for Christ. I couldn't believe he gave me that shirt. I said, if he only knew that if I had a chance to kill him, I'd kill him too. And he blessed me with a sweatshirt. I started to weep because I couldn't understand how these people can love someone that is opposing them and they will kill them if the devil says so. I couldn't believe
it.
It was, and then the week later, I sat in my house and I was watching Jerry Springer. You know the show. We all know the show. I was watching Jerry Springer and I was sitting in my house and I heard the voice of the Lord for the first time in my life. He said, my son, I'm planning to come soon. What are you going to do with yourself?
Wow.
I knew that was the voice of the Lord because there was no other voice that sounded like that. I knew the voice of the demons for 25 years. I knew the voice of hell for 25 years. I knew the voice of every principality that ran the first and second heaven. I had a contract with the demon, the principality that runs Haiti, over Haiti.
Wow.
The same demon, his name is Candelo. Candelo is a demon that runs by fire. His name is Candelo.
Okay.
And that demon runs by fire, and he controls Haiti. And he was, he was my second father to the devil. The demon pretended that he loved me. But you see, the devil would never love you. No demons would love you because you're made in the image of God. And anything that's made in the image of God, they hate and they want to destroy. They pretend that they love you. They pretend that they have a contract with you. They pretend that they have a pact with you. They pretend that they're on your side. So I sat in the thing and I heard the voice of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ gave me a vision. I looked at the other side of my room in my apartment. And there was a vision of fire and brimstone. And people underneath screaming, finding a place to hide. There was nowhere to hide. And it was the end time that God was showing me. And it's in the book of Revelation. I read it years later. So I snapped out. I shook it off. And I said, no, I don't want this. I don't want this Christianity. I don't want this stuff. I'm a devil worshiper. I don't want this. Because I was betwixt two worlds.
Yeah.
I was falling in love with Jesus, but I was committed to the dark side. Three days later, I was called to a meeting in the Bronx. It was something like 17 devil worshippers showed up at this meeting. And the meeting was about who was going to take over the prince. There was at devil worshippers, we were more organized than the church.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
At devil worshippers, we were more organized than the church. When the devil said we had a meeting, all the devil worshippers would show up on time.
Oh. Wow.
Pastor, when I was a devil worshiper, I would go to demon church at 7 o'clock in the evening, and I would leave demon church at 5 in the morning the next day.
Wow.
And there's people in church today that sit there and they're looking at their watches.
Yeah, you're right. That's what they do. Come there, look at their watch,
and
wait to get
this
out.
Is a sad thing about, you know, I go to my church. I go to Times Square Church. I was under Pastor David Wilkins' ministry, and I am blessed to have Pastor Carter as my pastor, as the pastor now. And Pastor Carter is like a young David Wilkins, and he is such a blessing to the body of Christ. This is a true man of God, and I share my testimony in Times Square Church. And I share my testimony at Times Square Church, and Pastor Dave Wilkinson took me under his wing for 2.5 years. He spoke into my life. He laid hands on me. He allowed me to come. He introduced me. If you go to YouTube and you put John Ramirez, you see me share the testimony in Times Square Church. Only God can do that.
That's right. You're right.
When I walked Pastor David Wilkinson home for the first night, he turned around and I left him at his door, and he told me, "I see Jesus in you."
Oh,
I mean,
Lord,
to
Jesus.
Me, I was at awe that God can take a devil worshiper and give him a mic and put him on stage and glorify the name of Jesus. So in the midst of my chaos, in the midst that I sat on this meeting, and all demons showed up, and one of the highest principalities showed up at that meeting tonight, and he said, "My son, could I speak to you?" At that meeting, we sat there because the meeting was going to usher out a principality and give him a feast and usher one back in that was going to take over the region and usher that,
wow.
He was going to reign for that 1 year. So we was going to usher one out and send him out with a feast and usher one in and give him a feast. So he was going to reign and give us rush of peace for the whole year to control the region.
All right.
So I was going to have communication with the demons on the ground and with the demons of that principality, making a new contract with the demon that was coming in. And he came down, he sat with me, he told me, "You know what God throws out of heaven? Because he was jealous of us." In other words, he was trying to tell me, who you with? You with us or you with him? And at that meeting.
Oh,
so here I am, sitting down with a principality that one time he was an angel, that he had a post in heaven. I'm sitting down having a conversation with him.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went home that night, I was scratching my head. I said, "Well, if they're all powerful and these demons run and they run stuff, why does Jesus still have heaven and Jesus not thrown out of heaven?" So I was trying to do the math.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure it out. How'd that work?
Yeah.
If God was jealous of them and they were all powerful and they said that God threw them out of heaven, why didn't they stay with heaven and throw God out? I was trying to reason with that when I went home.
Yeah.
So I tried my best trying to reason with that. 2 weeks later, I was so in a state of depression because I was falling in love with Jesus. And I was committed for 25 years as a devil worshiper. I was twigging in between two worlds. I didn't know what to do, so I said, "Well, I commit suicide. So God don't, this Jesus guy can't keep me, and the devil can't have me." That night I sat on my bed to say, "How would I commit suicide?" I said, "I have a policy for $750,000. I had $100,000 worth of witchcraft stuff in my house. I had human bones in my house that I was signed down and made witchcraft with it.
Mm-hmm.
I will hang out in cemeteries. I will sleep in cemeteries. I will go to ICUs. I will walk into asylums like Bellevue and stuff like that, and remove spirits from there to put it on people so they can go crazy."
Jesus.
I did a witchcraft for this girl, this lady, this Caucasian young girl came up to me and said, "I heard you're a witch doctor," and a friend brought it to me, and I said, "Yeah, I am a witch doctor." And she said, "Well," she told me, "could you do a reading for me?" I said, "I'm not gonna do nothing for you." And then the devil said, "Show her what kind of powers." I did the reading for her. And she stole $20,000 from a sneaker store, very famous sneaker store. It was called Foot Locker. And it was going to put in jail for 5 years. She paid me $10,000 because she knew I was the real thing. I destroyed the judge. I destroyed the lawyers that were against her. I put them in the hospital. I put the people that were accusing her, I put them in the hospitals and car accidents. She was dismissed. She was dismissed from the whole case, dropped. Not even a dollar she had to pay. She was free in the natural. But she was a prisoner in the spiritual because now she belonged to the demons.
Jesus.
So in the end, Pastor, I sat in my bed and I said, I love my daughter, but I can no longer live with this pressure on me. I'm getting pulled by the cross and I'm getting pulled by the devil. It was too much pressure. I was going to a state of depression. I couldn't handle the pressure anymore. That I was getting pulled by Jesus and I was getting pulled by the devil at the same time. So I said, "Jesus, God, whatever they call you, I don't know what they call you. I don't really care. I don't want to serve you. Leave me alone. Get away from me. I sat on the bed. I don't want nothing to do with the cross. I'm not going to be a Christian. Leave me alone. Get away from me. I don't want nothing to do with you. I said to God, I said, I'm going to serve the devil all the days of my life, and I would destroy every Christian that come my path. I would destroy the church. I would destroy anything that pays me the right money. I would destroy. I will give people headache, migraines. I will kill your mommy, your daddy, your goldfish. I will kill your cat if I have to. I will kill anything with witchcraft because that's what I was called to do. And before I went to bed, I closed my eyes and I almost went to deep sleep, like God put Adam, and when God put Adam to sleep and took out a rib and made Eve. When God put Abraham, he fell into a deep sleep and made a contract with him. I went to that same sleep. And before I went into that sleep, none of my words, I didn't plan these words, and I didn't even have them in my mind. If you are stronger than the daddy I serve, you show up and you show me. Jesus took me to hell.
Ooh.
Jesus took me to hell. I was in this train that was going so fast that was beyond human comprehension to be on this train. And as I was going on this train, it was going so fast, this train ended up in hell, opened the doors, and there were so many people on this train, their face, you can see the faces of these people. And it ended up in hell, and I saw witch people that were in hell. All I heard was screaming and weeping, and I was trying to find my way out of hell. I was going to the tunnels of hell trying to find my way, and the devil showed up and tried to grab me. The devil told me, I'm going to keep you here, because if I can keep you here, your body stays on earth, and I can kill you. And people, they would pronounce you that you die of natural causes. But I will keep you here because you know too many secrets. You know too many. See, I trusted you too much. I gave you too much of the dark side. I can't let you live. As he went to grab me, the 3-foot cross appeared in my hands, and the devil melted and fell. As I ran to one of the tunnels of hell, I felt the fear. You can touch the fear. You can touch the hopelessness in this place. A place of sadness, a place of unbelief, a place that it's like being in a building that is on fire, and they remove hope from you that you can't get out.
Jesus, Lord.
And a place that you can touch the darkness and the fear. I can smell the fear. As I went into a tunnel, my heart was beating. I couldn't understand how I was in this place, and there was no way out. And as the devil showed up again, he said, I'm going to kill you. He started speaking to me in demonic tongues. So I started responding to him in the demonic tongues. I said, I'm not leaving you. You're my daddy. I'm with you for 25 years. He said, no, you're not. I know you're going to leave me, and I have to destroy you before you leave me because you know too much about me, and you know too much about the demons and the principalities and Santeria and Espiritismo and Palamayumbe. You know too much about this religion because, you see, the devil tried to copy the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So the devil tried to run, the demons trying to run in these three different religions, the same devil but dressed in three different ways.
All right.
Because they try to copy the Trinity.
So as he
went to grab me again for the last time, he put the cross appear, a cross appear in my hand, like a 3-foot cross appear in my hand. I put it on him. As I put it on him, he melted away. I woke up from my dream, and I would walk up as a Christian because I bent my knee to the cross of Jesus Christ, and I gave my life to the Lord. I said, Lord, here am I.
Praise God.
Send me. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and never again I looked back. I took $100,000 of witchcraft stuff in my house and threw it all away and followed the cross because I said to myself, I counted all done. I counted worthless. I threw 25 years away of witchcraft to follow him.
Wow.
And my life had never been the same. I've been baptized. Right. When I got baptized, the church gave a standing ovation. They couldn't believe it that the devil was being baptized that day. The church was so fear of who I was that I couldn't go back and make friends with the demon people because I couldn't beat anymore, but I couldn't get close to the people in the church because they were afraid of me.
Oh,
So I was in between two places.
Yeah.
But through it all, standing in the street, pointing my finger to heaven and telling God to come down that I wanted to fight him. Through putting witchcraft on people, putting death spells on people, putting abortion on people, almost sacrificing a human. Do it all.
Jesus.
Jesus loved me. And this time.
Yes, he did.
And this time, Pastor. And this time, he didn't pass me by.
No. He wasn't going to pass you by.
At nine years old, he passed me by.
Mm-hmm.
But at 35 years old, he knew my address, and he came for me.
Yes, he did.
There was 179 buildings in my apartment, in the complex I live. And one of the things, beside my salvation, I want to ask Jesus in heaven when I get there, how did he know my address? Amen. To the glory of God. There's nothing
Amen.
Like Jesus.
Nothing
people
like
say, I tried Jesus and didn't work. No, no, you didn't try Jesus. You tried church.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah, once
this,
you
is
devil,
this is a
Christ,
ex-
yes.
Amen. This is an ex-devil worshiper talking to you tonight.
Yes.
That had none, that wanted nothing to do with the cross of Jesus Christ. Not church. You people
mm-hmm.
try church. You didn't try the
yeah.
cross.
Yeah.
Because when you try the cross, your life is transformed.
That's right.
When you try church, you
That's
try religion.
Right. That's right.
The devil knows. The devil knows religion.
You're
the Lord
so right.
showed me.
Right.
The Lord showed me in the last days. The Lord showed me in the last days. The devil's not coming like a roaring lion anymore. For some people,
uh-huh.
yes. But most of the people,
yeah.
for the Christian, he's coming as an angel of light. Because the Bible says in the last days, the elect is going to be full.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a prayer life, and you don't have a true relationship with Christ. That angel of light, he would deceive you because you
mm-hmm.
don't know the voice of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see? So
That's
so
right.
so the Bible said that my sheep know me by my voice.
Yeah.
I have brought people from darkness to the cross of Jesus Christ. I had brought this lady that she was in, I shared this with you, and I shared 3 minutes from you. I brought this lady that she was a devil worshiper to the cross of Jesus Christ
yeah.
a month before she died. I didn't even know she was going to die. And I brought her to Christ, and she died. A month later from stomach cancer. She fell in her apartment and died, but she went home with the Lord. And I brought
yeah.
her to the cross of Jesus Christ, and I went to her funeral. And when I went to the funeral, I didn't see the devil worshiper for 7 years. Jesus prepared me for 7 years to this lady's salvation, to see all the devil worshipers in the funeral that I used to hang out with, the clan, the cult I used to hang out with. They were all high-ranked devil worshipers in that funeral, thinking that she was still a devil worshiper. And
wow.
I walked into the funeral. When I walked into the funeral, Pastor, they gave me this
yeah.
book, and they said, we haven't killed you yet.
What?
And every time I stood next to them with the love of Jesus, and they were shaking, and they had this anxiety on them. I couldn't understand. I asked the Lord, why are they look like they have this anxiety on them every time I stand next to them? And the Lord said to me, the Holy Spirit said to me, how could darkness stand next to the light?
That's right. Can't do
and then
it.
They couldn't do it. I was walking on Fifth Avenue and 57th Street on a 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and there was a devil. He was like fourth high ranked devil worshiper in New York City. He was coming across. This brother was Afro American brother. That when he got
yeah.
demon possessed, when he got demon possessed, he spoke a perfect Spanish. And when he snapped out of being demon possessed, he didn't speak the word in Spanish.
Wow.
This brother was coming across the avenue, and when he came across the avenue, he spotted me. He knew I was a Christian. He grabbed my hand and shook my hand and said, how you doing, John? How are you? As he grabbed my hand, the Fifth Avenue went into a standstill. The Fifth Avenue went into slow motion. I couldn't believe he had my hand. I couldn't believe that everything was moving in slow motion.
Wow.
And when he let my hand go, everything went back to normal. And he started to shake on Fifth Avenue like he had Parkinson's disease. So
wow.
I couldn't understand why he was shaking that way. And I walked away, and as I walked away, he said his goodbye. I said my goodbye. His eyes wanted to pop out of his face. And I said, Lord, is something wrong with him? And God said, no, I broke the witchcraft he was trying to put on you. I broke, and the Holy Spirit hit him so hard that he knew that the spirit I had, which was the Holy Ghost, was greater than the spirit he had.
God is awesome.
I threw a cock in the afternoon because the Bible says that God said he is with me always.
Amen.
So today we're going to open up the lines. Any devil
mm-hmm.
out there, any devil worship out there that want to be free, my people, I tell you right now, and when I say my people, I say this in the love of Jesus Christ because I don't worship the devil and I never will. I'd rather go home early with the Lord. I'd rather die tonight and go home early with the Lord before I worship anybody. Before I worship anybody, I worship the cross of Jesus Christ. I'd rather give my life
yeah.
tonight and die tonight before I serve the devil ever again. And when I say my
That's
people,
right.
is you can come to Jesus Christ tonight. You can be free tonight. Don't fear the devil. Fear God.
Right.
That he can destroy your body and your soul. Because in
Amen.
The last day when you stand, anyone under my voice, anyone under the voice of Pastor Montgomery today, this is a divine appointment for you to know that God
yes.
loves you and God can set you free. Because
Amen.
When you reach the courtroom in heaven, there's only one attorney there that can stand on your behalf. His name is Jesus. And if that attorney don't show up for you, there's a place called hell. I went there. I know it's real. I went there.
Yeah.
It's real. It ain't make-believe. You can tell me, oh, John, that's all real, that's all good story, whatever, but you know what? You can talk to me, you can tell me that about gravity, but if you throw yourself off the building, you're going to know gravity is there.
That's right.
Amen? And
amen.
I say this in love to the listeners. You can call in the number, the pastor will give you a number, and we are willing to stand in the gap for you and pray for you and pray for your family,
yeah.
And we want it to be a blessing in your life. We want it to put ourselves on the line for Jesus Christ,
amen.
Like Paul said.
That's right.
For those,
that's
for
right.
souls, because the devil don't love you. The devil can't love anyone that's made in the image of God. If you're in Wicca, if you're in white magic, if you and any other, and maybe sometime I can come back on the radio and educate you.
Yeah.
On I got a book coming out next year. It's called Hunting the Devil Down: How the Devil Play Tricks on Christians. How the devil make the when we're supposed to have the mind of Christ, and the devil dulls your mind so much that you don't have the mind of Christ anymore. I show you how the devil does that. Matter of fact,
uh-huh.
Let me share 2 seconds right now. Let me show you how witchcraft works. For all your people listening
right.
out there, let me tell you how witchcraft works. Because Jesus holds your tomorrow. Jesus knows your beginning and your end. Jesus holds your tomorrow. He gave you a birthday, and you came. You was in eternity past, and he gave you a birthday, and you came to life. He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the plans that I have for you. He said, I knew you in eternity past. In other words, I gave you time. I gave you a birthday. I brought you to life. But Jesus knows when you're going to die. He knows your future. He holds your tomorrows. So why not serve him? When the devil's lying to you,
right.
when you do card reading, when I used to do card reading, I would break the cards in three, past, present, and future. So the person sitting next to me, I tell them the past because they're familiar spirits. The demons that walk the earth, they know your past. And then the demons that know the present because they walk the earth. Now I'm telling you, or your husband's going to leave you, or your wife is going to leave you, your kid's going to go on drugs in 30 days, your kid's going to have an accident in 30 days. If you don't do this remedy, if you don't do this bath, and you don't pay me $350, or if you don't pay me $5,000, your family's going to be destroyed. All this stuff. Right? But you see, you said, how could that be? My husband loves me. My wife loves me. How could this happen? You know, and then you go home. 30 days later, it happens. And you think I know the future. They're lying to you. That's not the future. Let me tell you why. Because you took that demon home with you that was giving that medium the recipe, the thing that he was going to do to you. You took that demon home, and he did everything to your house. Then you come back, and I said, give me $10,000. I'm going to fix everything for you, and you give me your 10 grand. You go to Chase, Citibank, whatever bank you bank in. You give me your money, and then I just call the demon back.
Huh.
That's not knowing the future. Amen? Yeah, that's not knowing the future. When Jesus knows the future, when Jesus told the Pharisees, if you destroy this temple, I'll rise in 3 days. That's the future, my friends. Christ
That's
is
it.
The way.
Christ Amen, is Pastor. The way. Amen. Brother Ramirez, audience, what we're going to do right now, we're going to give you this call-in number. Feel free to call in 323-375-0849. That's 323-375-0849. Whatever questions you have for Brother Ramirez, just put it forth, and he'll be more than happy to answer and help you in any way that he can. We're going to have a break right now. We're going to go for a slight break. I'm going to put a rendition of preaching on right now, and then we will get back with you in about 4 minutes. All right? Here it is.
Amen.
First Peter 1:15, as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives and make a lot of sense, we must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. To be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust.
Yes.
For Saul, the life of Saul, the devil, God allowed a tormenting spirit to torment him.
Okay.
You know, to torment him. I mean, even as a righteous man, as Job was, God allowed the devil to show up, and the devil took instructions from God.
Uh-huh.
That's how powerful God is. And you saw what happened in the life of Job. And Job was a righteous man. This was a test. So the,
uh-huh.
You know, you see the life of, we go back to Saul, because Saul was disobedient. How are we living for Christ? And I'm talking more about the struggling Christian, because there's Christians that struggle with certain things that God gives grace, you know, because God knows that Christian wants to live right. God knows that Christian wants to live for him, and there's a struggle there sometimes. I've been there, you know, with certain struggles. You know, I might have a struggle of I might be angry about certain things, and God knows, and God's dealing with me with it, and God knows I'm repenting, and I'm asking God, please help me with this. And, you know, there's pastors that are doing things willfully,
uh-huh.
that they're doing things. Whether with the books or whether, you know, preaching a different gospel.
Yeah.
And when you do these things, you invite the devil to your house.
Hmm.
Because God don't have to bless it. God don't have to stand with you when you preach a different gospel. When you pimp the cross, God don't have to stand with you. I was in a church that one time a lady came and she was going to preach a word, and she said, God changed the word. And she preached the Inkabob, left the church, because the pastor was not living right. That was the church that I went to, that I grabbed the pastor by the throat. That later, I started to go to that church. I went to that church for 7 years. I mean, not seven, I'm sorry, like 5 years I went to that church. And the pastor was not living right. The pastor was doing things, his own understanding, doing things on his own way, his own will. He was willful. He was stubborn. His mind was sealed by the enemy. And he was busy preaching Jesus, but he was busy preaching and teaching Jesus, but he couldn't hear Jesus teaching him.
Oh, I see. So he opened the door for the enemy.
Yeah, you open the door for the devil. You know, I mean, you open the door for the devil. I mean, I've been in my home. I'm a Christian man. I love the Lord. I have a zeal for God. I love the Lord.
Yeah.
And I've been in my house, and the devil has shown up to my house to try to put fear in me, to try to control me with fear in my home. Showed up in my house. My room gets dark. My room gets cold. My room gets icy. And I know the presence of the devil is there. And I can hear the devil telling me, if you turn off the light, I leave. And I hear the Holy Spirit telling me, if you turn off the light, you've got no faith.
Uh-huh.
I get up and I get into spiritual warfare prayer. And then I go to I just go to my fridge and I get me a bottle of spring water, drink, take a zip, and go right back to bed, because that great is he that lives in me. Because when the devil came to tempt Jesus, he said he found nothing in me.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and we
right.
have to, you know,
that's
we have
right.
to, every day, Christian life is a day-by-day walk with Christ.
Yes.
And people compromise. There's a lot of Christians today compromising. A lot of Christians today giving a footstool to the enemy. We know we give the enemy authority to come against us. You know, and a lot of churches are doing that today. You see what goes on TV, Magic Soul.
Yeah.
You got people prophesizing, give me $15,000, I have a word of prophecy for you. That's all witchcraft.
Yeah.
I got a green handkerchief, send me a donation. That's witchcraft. Matter of fact, a green handkerchief, the green handkerchief, I mean, the time that Paul did it, Paul didn't know it was a green handkerchief. I mean, he just took a handkerchief. It might have been green. That was it, or whatever the case might be. Now, people are saying, oh, you know, I'm doing what Paul's doing. But the son of Sceva did the same thing. I'm casting you out in the name that Paul preaches. But you have no power.
Right.
You have no anointing. You have a form of godliness, but you have no power.
That's right.
So a lot of Christians are living that way. So when I went out to look for Christians, and I went out to chase Christians, I went out to do Christians, they look good on the outside. They look strong on the outside.
Uh-huh.
They look like Christian on the outside, but their spirit was anemic because they had no prayer life. to handle fasting.
Fasting.
You know what fasting is? And, and maybe one day I can come on. I'm going to teach this on. I'm going to teach this on October 13th on Wild Ministry. I'm going to. They're doing a 3-day fasting, and they're doing. They want me to close up the thing. Fasting is denying the flesh, and the reason you have to deny the flesh because when the devil could tempt the flesh, but he can't tempt the spirit, man.
That's right.
So if you have your flesh under control through fasting, that you deny your flesh certain things, so when the devil comes to tempt your flesh, you can control your flesh and no, you're not going there.
That's right. That's right.
You see? So because the spirit man takes over the flesh. So the inner man controls the outer man. But a lot of today Christians,
that's right.
The outer man is controlling the inner man.
And that's sad. It shouldn't be. It's not supposed to be that way.
Of course not. Today, that's what's going on. Today, the outer man is controlling the inner man on the Christian life. Today, if you take a survey and you ask a lot of Christians, do you fast? Probably 85-90% of Christians don't fast.
Well, you
don't
know
fast.
What, Brother Ramirez? It's amazing that you said that, but a lot of these things that we're talking about right now, they're not even being taught that in a lot of churches.
No.
They're not being taught to fast. They're not being taught to live anything. They're they basically just come and accept the Lord as Savior, and then they stop right there.
Let me point something out in the Bible real quick before we go back to the show, and this is for us, for you and me.
Mm-hmm.
Bible don't speak about the Trinity.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things. You don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. You've got to obey the Word of God. salvation. And I...
Yeah, it's a little common here. Okay. Yeah, he is awesome. Yeah, we just
Amen.
Had a few technical difficulties, but we got it worked out. No, but God is awesome, and I'm going to tell you, well, we can see how awesome and powerful he is by your testimony. Because, like the scripture said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, because God is the one that's all-powerful. There's nothing that's impossible for God. And the enemy, the devil, he's just a liar. He has some power, but he has no power compared to God and Christ and the
Never,
Holy Ghost.
Never,
he has no
never.
Power.
See, sometimes people get confused, Pastor. People say sometimes, oh, the devil is the opposite of God. You know, the devil, people say that. You lying. People lie when they say that. Christians are lying. See, they don't know God because God doesn't have an opposite. The devil is opposite of the archangel Michael and Gabriel. He's the opposite of that. God doesn't have an opposite. God is God all by himself. God doesn't have a son.
Yes.
God doesn't have no one like him. There's nothing like him. There's nothing like him before, now, and after. There's nothing like God doesn't have an equal. God doesn't have an opposite. God is almighty.
No.
So when Christians say, oh, the devil is the opposite of God, and you're wrong. You got it wrong. The devil is the opposite of Gabriel, the archangel, maybe Michael.
Yeah, yeah.
But God is so sovereign and he's so holy. He's so all in all that he doesn't have any. He's I swear by myself because there's no one to swear with.
No. There's nothing in all heaven and earth that even compares minutely with the Lord.
Amen.
God
Hallelujah.
Is, he's awesome. He's awesome. There's
awesome.
Nothing that you
Amen.
Can compare to God. Nothing.
You know, and I want to give
devil.
People a chance to get to. There's nothing. The devil has nothing on you unless you give him the opportunity to put it on you.
That's right. That's right. And I'm glad
you
said that.
The devil has
that.
Nothing on you unless you give him that opportunity to put it on you.
That's right. Praise God. And that's what many of our brothers and sisters need to hear. And I'm glad that they're hearing that, because nowadays they give the devil too much credit, too much power.
Too much power.
And he doesn't have any power, especially compared to God and Christ. Now, if you deny the Lord and if you give the devil power, then he has power.
Then he has power, you, because the Bible says that you become master to that, that you become enslaved to that masters you, and I believe it's in Romans or it's in Corinthians. So if you give devil the opportunity to be master over you, and then you become his slave. The Bible said that you become the slave. You can become a slave to righteousness, which leads to life, or you become the slave to unrighteousness, which leads to death. So you know, I believe in the Old Testament, the Lord says, you know, choose who you serve today. You can choose life or death. Choose life. He even tells you choose life. That's how good God is.
That's right.
He gives you the answer. He gives you the answer to the test. That's how good He is. Amen.
Oh, He's awesome, brother.
He's awesome.
He's awesome. I want to ask you a question. I've given a number out. Maybe people will start calling in a little bit at 323-375-0849. You can call in. Anybody that's listening out there have a question or a thought, something they want to say,
prayer.
They can call in. Y'all want prayer? You can call in at 323-375-0849. You got some prayer requests? Call in. Now,
if you
want to
be free
here.
Tonight, call in. If you want to be free tonight, call in. I also want to give my website. It's John Ramirez, RAMIREZ.org. You can go there and you can purchase a book there. You can, if you have any, you want to send me any emails, you can send me any emails there. My ministry number is 917-587-1127. If you want to call, you know, that you want me to pray for you after the show or another day, that's fine with me. I, you know, because I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Pastor is a servant, and we're here to serve you. We're here to let you know that Jesus loves you. And you don't have to live in the condition you're in. You don't have to let the devil abuse you anymore. You don't have to let the devil control your life anymore. You know, today is the day
that's
of salvation.
Right.
Today is the day of your freedom. Today is the day that you can say, devil, no more, and yes to Jesus. Amen?
Amen. You're right. Brother Ramirez, I want to ask you, I got a couple of questions I want to ask you, and you may have already answered them, but a lot of believers and Christians are suffering with this, And we got so many Christians that they're being tormented by devils and demons. They're being demonized. You know, exactly why is that? You know,
I think a lot has to do with your Christian life, your Christian walk.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
Your Christian life, your Christian walk, where you at. I have to use myself as an example. I learned this from Pastor Dave Wilkerson. I learned this from my church, Pastor Carter. I learned this because I'm not trying to be religious, whatever. It's what are you entertaining? What are you giving your time to? What are you watching on TV? Are you watching The Sopranos and you putting that filth in your spirit? Are you watching Twilight, which is the vampire show? Are you watching True Blood? And people say, how could that control my life, or how could that get into me? Yeah, it can, because you see, the devil is the prince of the air. He controlled the media. He controlled the airways. He controls TV. He controlled the media. He controlled politics. He controls TV shows. He controls music. What are you listening to?
Uh-huh.
What are you putting? Why was the Bible speaking about the ear gate and the eye gate? In the mouth gate. What are you speaking? What are you saying? What are you lying? How are you living your Christian life? Because whatever doors you open, you know, I can have the best security alarm in my house, but if I leave a few windows open, the defense is going to get in.
Yeah, you're right.
So what are you opening to your Christian life? If your mind is in Christ, if your mind is, do you have the mind of Christ? Because, I knew when I was a devil worshiper pastor that I knew that the battlefield was in the mind. So I know if I can get into your mind, if I can control your mind, I can control your heart. If I can control your heart, I have everything that you, with your whole being. I have your whole being.
Mm-hmm.
All I needed was to get into your mind. Because if I can get into your mind, control your mind, because the battlefield was on the mind, if I can control your mind, then I can control your heart. Then I have your emotions. I have your emotions. I had you going my direction. So what do you have the mind of Christ? The Bible said, do you have the mind of Christ? We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. Is your mind dull? Is your mind... is worn out for things that you're putting in your mind because you're not spending time with the Lord. You're giving God 15 minutes, but you're watching three hours of TV, or you're spending 5 hours on Facebook. And I'm not being critical. I'm just sharing with you that what was stopping you to having the mind of Christ, was stopping you to have that Christian life, you know, was stopping you from being victorious in Christ.
Amen. Well, so you said
if I have you in front of your computer... If I have you in front of your computer on Facebook for 5 hours, and then I drained you, because now you're tired to pray. Now you see, the devil doesn't mind you go to church, Pastor. The devil doesn't mind that you're in the cookie committee, or in the chicken committee, or in the hot dog committee, or whatever committee is in church. The devil don't mind that. The devil will say, that's good. Yeah. Go do it. You know, I applaud you. But the devil doesn't want you to pray. The devil doesn't want you to spend time with God. So if I can wear you out. If I can, see, the devil can't defeat you, but he can wear you out. So if I can wear you out because you're spending 5 hours on Facebook, then when you're done, you're going to give about 10 minutes of your time because, you know, that's all you got because you don't have enough strength anymore. You got 10 minutes for Christ, but you gave Facebook 5 hours.
Wow.
I'm not criticizing Facebook. Don't get me wrong. I'm on Facebook. Yeah. I use Facebook for the fact that I can use Facebook to put ministry stuff up there, the appointments, the blessings that God gave me, like Be With You Tonight. I put it on Facebook so people can tune in and people can get blessed.
Yeah.
Facebook is my bulletin board for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Facebook is not my buddy. My buddy is the cross of Jesus.
Amen.
So if I can use the thing in the world and put Christ in it and make it Christ center to bless the King, to bless the Lord, and to glorify the Lord and edify the body, I'm going to use it.
Amen.
So these are the things that the reason a lot of Christians struggle. You know, you have to have inventory. You have to check yourself. You know, am I struggling because I'm away from the cross? Am I struggling because this is just a test? Because God is bringing me to a new level.
Amen.
Am I hearing the voice of God? Or am I hearing the voice of the devil? He's disguised himself as an angel of light. Whose voice am I hearing?
Yeah. That's right. Well, Brother Ramirez, you preach the sermon, really.
Amen. God be the glory, my brother.
You've been preaching all night, I've been enjoying it.
Amen.
I've been enjoying it, and I'm sure the listeners have been enjoying it. But I'm still going to – I'm just asking some basic questions because they're basic, but a lot of people are still dealing with it. Now, when a person is delivered and set free, say he gets some devils cast out of him, you get set free, Now, how does he keep his deliverance once he's delivered?
But that's just John Ramirez. John was a devil worshiper. John was, I would channel devils throughout the whole night in the demonic church. I mean, what more example than that? I mean, when I got free, I mean, remember that, and I didn't share this part of the testimony because my testimony has a lot of aspects to it, and you can get the book, and I'm not trying to sell your book.
Yeah.
If you call me, I'll give you a free book if you want. I mean, it don't matter to me. As long as you glorify Jesus, I'll give you a free book.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter to me. I'm not trying to sell books. I'll give you free books.
Yeah.
I give you more free books than I sold books. Let's put it this way. I'm just trying to put something in your hand that you can learn something. I'm trying to put something in your hand you can educate yourself from the entrapment of the devil. There's people that write spiritual warfare books, and nothing against that, because I want to write one, but mine's going to be totally different than what they write, because, you see, I sat with the devil for 25 years.
Yeah.
I knew all the tricks. I knew all the tricks of the trades of the devil. So I want to bring it back to the kingdom of light, say, you know, beware Christian for this, beware Christian for that, beware of this, beware of that, because those are the same things, the tools that I used to use for 25 years against Christians.
Yeah.
So when I'm, you know, my situation, I mean, I remember that for 30 days I would sleep during the day because the devil would come for me at night, and the demons would come in for me at night, and then I would sleep in the bed, and the bed would shake, the room would get cold. Sometimes I would feel like if I would fall asleep, I'd feel a body would lay next to me like it was my wife or someone that was laying in the bed, and I felt the coldness of the body that would lay next to me, the torment at night that was happening, the screams at night. The devil would grab me by the throat and try to pick me off the bed because he tried to kill me for those 30 days, and after the 30 days through prayer, it was gone. And I asked Jesus, and I kept praying. I asked the Lord, Lord, why did this happen? And I gave my life to you. I threw all this junk away, all this, about 100 grand worth of junk. I threw it away. I gave my life to you. I got baptized. And the Lord said to me, I wanted to see how much you love me. You know, how much you love me. And I know how much you was going to trust me. And never again, the devil ever torment me that way. Do the people from witchcraft do witchcraft to me? Yes. They're always going to do witchcraft to me because I'm exposing them for who they are. And not because I don't I got nothing against them. I want them to have what I have, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what I want for them, what I have, you know, my relationship with Christ. And I think a lot of stuff that happened with Christians, based on your question, a lot of stuff that happened, like how much you want to be free. You know, how much you want to be free. I mean, my freedom comes to fasting. I was talking to you off the air. Fasting, you know, you see, the devil can't tempt your inner man because your inner man is intertwined with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit can't be tempted. But the devil can tempt your flesh. And if you spend time in prayer and time in fasting and spend time with God, when the devil comes as a flood, God raises up a standard. You know, and the thing is that when the flesh rises, just because you already have your flesh under control, there's a lot of things you can tell the flesh you can't do, and the flesh has to obey.
Yeah.
Why Paul say,
right.
I buffet my body? Paul say, I buffet my body. I put my body under control. Paul had his body under control. I mean, Paul was a Saddam Hussein of his time, destroying and killing Christians.
You said that right. Yes.
You know, and Paul, you know, gave it all for the cross.
Yeah.
And how, I'm sure the devil came to Paul and tormented him. He said, what a wretched man I am. But thank be to God, because he was tormented in his mind by the devil coming up to him and saying, how many Christians you kill? How many babies you stoned to death? How many Christians you kill?
Mm.
I'm sure that Paul through his whole life, I'm sure he was tormented by that. But Christ, but he had the mind of Christ. He had buffered his body. Paul had fasted. Paul had prayed. Paul had such a prayer life that when he prayed, I mean, even such a prayer life that the demon said, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know. I mean, the demons knew him by name.
Yeah.
Did the demons know you? Did the demons know you as a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
I was in Florida, and I was telling you this earlier, and I take 2 minutes. And I was in Florida, and I was in a conference, and this girl got demon-possessed at the end of the conference, and she got demon-possessed.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I mean, this girl was a young girl in her 30s, and she was foaming her mouth. All you saw was the white of her eyes. She was off the ground. There was pastors from Atlanta. There was pastors from Chicago, New York, praying over her. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. And the devil said, I'm not going nowhere. I own her. I own her. I'm leaving with her. I came with her. I'm leaving with her.
Wow.
And again, I'm not saying that. I don't know the pastors. I was at a conference. I don't know the pastors. I don't know. You know, I'm nothing wrong with that. I mean, God, maybe God didn't want to use them that day or whatever. I don't know. They couldn't cast the devil out. The disciples couldn't cast the devil out, and Jesus had to cast the devil out of the young boy. But, you know, what I'm saying is that when one of the pastors said, "Won't you pray for her, John?" I was hiding behind the back. I'm going to be honest. I didn't want to be involved. I was hiding somewhere in the back. And then they called me to the front. I got on my knee. I said, "Let her go." The Holy Spirit said, "Release her." And they said, "Well, you can't release her. She has too much strength." I said, "Release her." I feel from the Holy Spirit to release her. When I went down, I bent my knee to put my hands on her and pray for her. In the name of our Lord, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I went to put my hands. Her eyes rolled back. She said, "You, I know." She said, "You, I know."
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, no, you don't know me." I put my hands on her. I started to pray for her. 10 minutes later, she was set free, completely set free. It's like that never happened.
Yeah.
Set free, blessed by the Lord. Set free, never again to be tormented ever in her life again, because I had called the Florida a few times, the church over there. She said, "This girl is serving the Lord. She's loving the Lord. Never in her life that ever happened to her again."
Praise the Lord.
And it was it's the power of the Holy Spirit.
It's the Lord.
The closer you live to the cross, the greater things you could do for Christ.
Amen.
Because
Amen,
Christ
brother,
told Moses, "Hide behind his hide under the cleft of the rock, and I will show you things." And the cleft of the rock is Jesus.
That's
the closer
right.
you get, you know, Christianity. Let me. When I was a devil worshipper, it's easy to serve the devil. I mean, you can do other things in the world. You can get drunk, hang out, have women, think you got power, you got money. I mean, it's easy to, but it takes a real man to serve Christ.
That's
it
right.
It takes a real woman
you
to
know,
serve Christ, because Christ is suffering.
That's right. That's right.
Christ is giving things up.
That's right.
But what a reward.
Well, brother,
the Bible said that there's a reward. Amen.
That's right. That's right. Brother Ramirez, the thing about Christianity is you can't be a weak person and be a Christian, because it takes strength to go in things of God, because like you just said, it doesn't take any strength to do anything you want to do. Yeah, it doesn't take any strength to do that. I mean, if you want to do something, you just do it. But it takes some temperance and some control and some discipline to walk with the Lord, to follow after the Lord, because you are crucifying that flesh. You have to crucify the flesh. And crucifying the flesh is not that easy. It takes some discipline. It takes some prayer. It takes study. You have to stay in the Word. You have to stay on your knees. You have to absorb the things of God to be strong in the Lord, to put that flesh under subjection. But you don't have to put the flesh under subjection when you're in the world. It takes
no
strength to do that.
That's why the people in the world say, "Oh, why the devil don't mess with me?" I mean, I'll use something for example, and I said it's in love, because I'm a big Apple fan, and I think Steve Jobs was a wonderful man. I think he was a wonderful man, a brilliant man, a wisdom that God gave this man, and a wisdom like Solomon, a man that he gave so much to the world. I mean, unbelievable technology he gave to the world. To the wisdom that God had gave him, because the wisdom comes from God, doesn't come from anywhere else. The devil can't give you wisdom, by the way. Every good gift, the Bible says, comes from the Lord. Every good gift comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
It doesn't come from the devil. The devil don't have gifts.
That's right.
He can't give you gifts. The devil, all he can do is make you lose your soul. That's what he's here for, to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the devil knows how to do, and lie.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't give you any more than that. Steve Jobs, an excellent man of character, an excellent man of wisdom and knowledge and all this stuff, but I heard I heard that he was a Buddhist.
Okay.
So the Bible says, you know, and I bring it to the cross of Jesus Christ, to Jesus' word. What profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? And again, I'm not making any implication that he's in hell, because I don't know. Only God knows who's in hell and who's in heaven. But I pray, my prayer is that, you know, and I'm not praying for him, because you can't pray for someone who's already passed on, you know. And one thing I want to tell the Catholic people out there, is that there's no purgatory. So I want to be shocked. There's no purgatory, because purgatory is a make-believe word. There's no place that they're going to clean you up. You know, there's none of that, because if you said there's a place to clean you up, and then what Jesus did at the cross is in vain. He came from dying for nothing. Because the only thing that can clean you up is the blood of Jesus. The only thing
that
can set you free is the blood of Jesus. The only thing that can cleanse you to put a rope of righteousness on you is the work of the cross, the finished work of the cross. So there's no purgatory. There's no situation.
No.
I do whatever I want, then I die, I go to purgatory. There's no in between. There's hell and hell. There's hell and heaven. There's no in. Did you be in some room, hanging out, you know, or waiting for your number to be called, so you're gonna be clean, and then you're gonna enter the pearly gates.
No.
People,
that's
a lie. That's a lie from the Catholic Church. That is a lie from the Catholic Church. Don't believe that. If that was the case, why would the cross? Why the thief in the cross? He had nowhere to go. He had nowhere to work for his salvation. He had nowhere to do anything good. He was at the cross for being a thief. And he said, Jesus, he acknowledged the Son of God. He repented at the cross. And he said, remember me. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Not in purgatory. In paradise.
In paradise.
Amen? So I just
want to
share that
with
the people. You know, I want to share that for the people that are Catholic and there's good Catholic people that love the Lord. I know a few. That know scriptures. I know some Catholics that know scripture better than Christians. Just to let you know how much time they spend with the Lord. And there's nothing. I'm a Christian. I love being a Christian. I would die a Christian. But getting back to the situation, it's sad that a man that had so much God given, because God has given him, because the Bible said that it rains on the just and the unjust. So God give both. God give the unjust and the just the same.
Yeah.
So if the unjust doesn't do anything, the day of judgment, you will have to give an account. Because I think one of the things that God's going to ask everyone, and I'm not God, I'm not putting words in God's mouth, is two things God's going to say. What do you do with the time I gave you on earth?
You're right.
What do you do with the time I gave you on earth? Did you glorify my son, Jesus Christ? Did you glorify my son, Jesus Christ? What will be your answer? If today is your last day on earth, my brother, and let me share a story with you, Pastor. My brother died a year ago. My brother called my mother on a Thursday night. My brother used to hate me. My brother was a witch doctor, too. He used to hate me. Hate me with a passion. To make a long story short, I through prayer, through everything, my brother was in the hospital. He was going to have heart surgery. The Lord told me to go. Every time he see me, my mother, I used to come to my mother's house. He would put on his coat and leave because he couldn't stand. That's how much he hated me because I would preach to him all the time. And I preached the love of Jesus. I never preached condemnation. I never preached to him anything about he was going to hell. Never preached that stuff to my brother. I preached love. I told him about Jesus. I told him how beautiful Jesus was, how awesome Jesus was. And when he went to the doctors to get surgery, I went there. He accepted Christ. He went to surgery. My brother lived a year after. On a Thursday night, my brother had 3 days before, he bought a computer from Dell. He had it. He was playing with it on his bed. He called my mother to my mother. He told my mother, I'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to go with you, run some errands. I'm gonna do some stuff with you to help you out. That Thursday, he went to bed, and the next day, he didn't wake up because the Bible says that tomorrow is not guaranteed to nobody. But my brother made peace with God, and my brother was baptized, and my brother accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I thank God for that because my brother today is in heaven, and one day I'll see him again.
Amen.
But I'm saying this to the hearer out there.
Yeah.
That don't think that the devil, one of the things the devil lied to you, he said, you got all day, you got tomorrow, you got next week. The Bible says this. The Bible says that tomorrow is not guaranteed to nobody.
That's right.
So today could be your last night. Today could be the last night on your earth. What would you do with your opportunity tonight that you listen to Pastor Montgomery and you listen to John and telling you about the cross of Jesus Christ, and today could be your last night? And if you close your eyes for the last time and you don't know Jesus, there's no heaven for you.
That's
and
right.
God is not a man
to
lie.
That's right. God is not a man. Brother John, we have 7 minutes left.
Amen.
Got 7 minutes left. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to give your number out. So people that's listening and they want to contact you after the show, they can call you with any request that they have. This Brother Ramirez's number is 917-587-1127. That's 917-587-1127. Now, he will be waiting for your call after the show. So if you want to call him, feel free to call him. We have 6 minutes and 27 seconds left. Now, if somebody wants to call in that time, that's 323-375-0849. Feel free to call in.
Also, they can go to my website if they want to send me an email. They can go to the website, John Ramirez, RAMIREZ.org. A lot of, you know, if they have any questions that they want to, maybe people don't want to come online because they're shy or they don't want to be, you know, be on the line because they feel that their stuff is very personal, stuff like that. You can either send me an email or you can send Pastor Montgomery an email, and we'd be glad to, you know, help you in any way the Lord allows to help you to be a blessing to your life. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, audience, Brother John, what we're going to do for these last few minutes, we're going to play a, we want to have Brother Ramirez to close the program out in prayer. He can go as he sees fit. So, Brother Ramirez, go ahead.
Amen. Hello? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, there's a brother. I got a brother right now. He's listening to the show. He sent me. He sent me an email through Facebook, and he wants us to pray for him. So right now we're gonna lift him up in prayer. He know who he is, and sometimes I don't like to call out names because you know I don't like to shout people's business out there. But brother, you know who you are. You just sent me on my Facebook. You just sent me an email for prayer for divine protection. I will pray right now. Me and Brother Montgomery is gonna come in agreement to pray for your Father, in Jesus' name. We pray for this brother, Lord. Lord, I pray the blood of Jesus upon him. Father, I pray the hedge of protection around him, his family, his loved ones, Father God. I pray I come against the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. I push you back, devil, in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, renew his mind, his heart, his spirit. We come against any spirit of fear, any spirit of doubt, any spirit of unbelief. We cast it down to the ground in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, you are great and awesome God, Father God. I pray Holy Spirit rain upon this brother in him, through him, my God, and sit, my God, let your Holy Ghost rest upon him right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus,
right,
Father God.
In
renew his strength, renew his faith, Father God.
Yes.
Touch his brother, Lord. Touch him like he never been touched before. Did he know the love of Jesus reign in his heart? And he, great is he that lives in him, that he that lives in the world, and the things that of the devil. We come against them right now. We push them back with the blood of Jesus, and we pray full victory and full victory for that brother, Lord, because he's a, Lord, he is a mighty man of God. And remind him that, Lord, that who you save, Lord, and who you redeem with the blood of your Son, he is great in the kingdom of God, Lord, because you, great is he that lives in him, that he that lives in the world. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother John, I want to thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Coming on the show and sharing your testimony and saying all the things that you said. And I know the listeners have been truly blessed. And you really blessed my soul. Me and my wife, we're just overjoyed in our spirits. We've been uplifted. And we thank you for calling.
Amen.
In.
Thank you.
And we're going to try to work some things out in the future, Lord willing, where we can get you down here. Maybe we can get you to come to a church where you can share your testimony or preach or, you know, set people free however you want to go. All right.
Amen.
Now
amen.
For the amen. For the last, we got 2 minutes. Now you can close out the show.
Amen. Father, right now we pray for those that were listening, Lord, that seed was planted, and people were blessed not because of me or Pastor Montgomery, Lord, but because of you, Lord. We give you the glory, the honor, the praise, because no one can carry the glory but Jesus Christ, Father God. And we just want to thank you for using us today, Lord, as servants, my God, like Paul and Silas, Lord, that you use, Lord. We are just servants. We're the one that planted the seed, and we plant it, Lord, and he put the water, but you make it grow, Lord. Father, we thank you for this evening. Bless Pastor Montgomery and his family and his ministry. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good night, listening audience. That was Brother John Ramirez. As I said previously, you can call him at 917-587-1127. You can also get his book, Out of the Devil's Cauldron, A Journey from Darkness to Light. And you will get much, much more information, and you'll get even more blessed from reading Brother John Ramirez's books. That is going to be the end of our show. You all be blessed, and I'm going to leave you with a little music as we're going out.
Gotta doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Gotta doubt of the flesh, gotta live in the spirit, so these lyrics fall down, so your people can hear it. Oh, 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 oh. Gotta die, gotta die.
So many times I felt like a failure. So many times I call on the Savior, who picked me up when my head is hanging low to the ground. When there's nobody else around, when I felt like giving up, you helped me put the weight down. On my shoulders, big boulders, they roll right off. On my knees, I seek the Father, help me bear my cross. To Calvary I walked, and now my flesh at the cross. Now that I'm found, I can't never ever be lost. I serve the boss, Jesus Christ anointed, paid the cost for my sin, who burdens got to leave. Keep my head above the sea, fighting till I finish my race. I